WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm Scott Shannon. Stand by for news.
You, me, bar, beers, buzz.
Oh, yeah. Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Let's find out right now.
Rude, thoughtless little pigs. Don and Mike.
That was funny.
How about Rob dancing?
I love Rob dancing.
Like Rob was one of the OJs.
I wish he'd dance every day.
He'd be one of the BOJs.
He's a pimp.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
How are you?
I'm well. And so is the stock market, by the way, which closed up today 300 points.
Well,
up,
so
it
worked.
Down, apparently so.
For now.
What the Fed did. For now, yeah. Commercials, meanwhile, for this year's Super Bowl game on Fox are selling just fine, unaffected by the writer's strike and the new general apathy about television. And this year, 30-second spots on the Super Bowl are going for as much as $2.7 million apiece. And that's just for the time.
That's why CBS has announced they're only buying 5 commercials for our show on the Super Bowl this year, Mike.
Yep. And, you know, we have to take that. It's down from the past years where it's been, well, as much as 10.
Mm-hmm. I can hear Alan Linewad drooling.
$2.7 million.
How many pennies would that be, Rob?
That would be 270 billion pennies. And I put them in my pocket. Hi, Kim.
Take them out of his change purse.
And, of course, it costs even more to produce the commercials in the first place. And when it comes to Super Bowl commercials, the production can be very expensive, but worth it. With 54 million people watching the Giants-Packers championship game, the stage is set.
I can't wait to get 270 million pennies.
Billion.
Million, I meant.
Million pennies.
2.7, move it over twice. 270 million pennies, I could swim in them.
Are you going to pick each one of them up individually?
What I will do is I'll turn them into quarters and then sort them by state.
Anheuser-Busch, of course, is already on board with 6 commercials, 1 with the Clydesdales and 5 for Bud Light.
Oh, not the Clydesdales
just
and
one.
Not the Dalmatian.
And listen,
Jesus.
The Bud Light, I'm fine with the dude commercials. Mm-hmm. Just come up with a couple of new ones
they
for
have.
The Super Bowl.
They have come up with new ones for the Super
What's
Bowl.
What's the one they overrun now? The one where the dog jumps into the Miller Lite.
Unchain my heart.
God.
Unchain my heart.
Not creative. Not funny.
Are there theme... any commercials for banks?
That was not funny.
The theme for the Bud Light commercials in this year's Super Bowl will be people with unfortunate superpowers. That's the theme. People with unfortunate
Hey, I'm excited about that.
That sounds to me like some ad exec's about to get his wanker cut off.
That could happen.
On Monday when they put that thing in USA Today, the TV ad-o-meter. Oh.
Haven't they been trending crappy over the last couple of Super Bowls?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when really it was a spectacular stage and they were all funny.
I hate to say it all kind of goes along the timeline with Janet Jackson's boob.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Janet Jackson's boob,
you're right.
All of a sudden.
Yeah,
ad,
no controversy at all.
An ad that might have been funny.
Because wasn't Janet Jackson's boob right around the time the Doritos hot lady with the cleavage and then the bra strap going bad?
One of the all-time greatest
Super
Bowl
I mean, not necessarily funny as much as.
But you
I
remember
mean,
it, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Allie Landry.
Was that her name?
Look at that. Even Herman Munster remembers her name.
Yeah, sex sells.
It does.
Let's hire her.
The striking writers and their bosses met today for the first time since December 7th, a day that will live in infamy. That's the day the talks broke off.
Never forget, Rob.
Nearly a month into the strike.
Never forget.
Never have.
That was nearly 2 months ago, and since that time, a lot of TV shows have dried up. Even the return of Lost comes with the knowledge it won't get very far before they run out of new episodes.
December 7th, will you remember the state the Super Bowl is going to be played in, Rob Spiewak? Remember the Arizona?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Although I heard this about Lost. Yeah. I heard that, and I don't watch the show,
right?
But I know a lot of people that do, mm-hmm. and they said that wherever they stopped filming when the writer's strike happened, it was a point in the script where everybody involved with the show said, this is the worst possible place to stop.
Yeah.
And apparently that's where the show's going to run out this year.
Okay.
They have just enough left to get to a major storyline that they had hoped to resolve this season.
And they'll have to chop it off and tease everybody.
It's going to be a cliffhanger that they didn't want, that the writers didn't want.
And don't be fooled, incidentally, by when they're promoting new shows. I was talking to Don last night, and I asked you about this, where when they came on and they said an all-new season of House, and you told me how many episodes?
Three episodes.
Three.
Including
that's
one
the
of
new
them,
season, right?
Including one of them. That's a Christmas episode from this year,
right? Not that's good. The one that'll follow the Super Bowl.
Who among us watches Lost? Anybody?
I've tried twice.
I think I'm the only one left, and I'm teetering.
I tried twice, and I just couldn't get into
Listen,
it.
Listen, I know a my son watches it. Uh-huh. My daughter watches it.
Right.
Maybe it's a generational thing.
I think it's
love it.
If you were there from the very beginning, I really don't think you can jump on board. People have told me you could, and I tried a couple of times, couldn't dig it.
I've tried. I just don't see it.
It's awful pretty and high def, I can tell you that.
All I know is that every time I turn on, it's ABC is the network that is guilty of this, of having every single show that they're promoting as new is a ripoff of Sex and the City.
Yes.
Whether it's three ladies who are going to get together and have martinis every night. There's another one called, I think, Cashmere Mafia.
That's on tonight.
And there's another one called something like Sex in the City.
And speaking of the chick flicks,
you
like those chick flicks like 27 Dresses. You said you love that movie so much. There's another one they're promoting now.
No, that's not the title.
The Girl with Little Miss Sunshine.
The correct title is 27 Hysterectomies.
27 Hysterectomies. Have you seen the promos for the one where the little girl has her her father that's been divorced or fallen in love with women and tries to get them together?
Abigail Breslin.
Little Abigail Breslin, who I believe will have the small child star syndrome and grow up to be a very ugly adult.
This movie has her first nude scene.
Well, it's about time. Hey, you know what I heard yesterday as well?
What?
It was just a rumor, but that Heath Ledger was in one of the Olsen twins' hotel rooms yesterday.
I'm glad you finished that sentence. You kind of stopped it there. Heath Ledger was in one of the Olsen twins' room. And then you didn't go any further with that. I was, hey, wouldn't you have a scoop?
Which one?
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? And the guy that said it to me, my neighbor, Jerry, mentioned it to me today. And I said, which one? And he said, the good-looking one. And I said, Which one?
Well, it's more like the one that eats and the one that has anorexia.
Well, he had.
I think they both have anorexia.
No, but one of them is a little meatier than the other.
He had a carload of girls, and they all were screaming, Mary Kate, Mary Kate.
I think Mary Kate is the one that actually looks a little better than
is
Ashley.
Is she boning Lance Armstrong?
Yes. I'm not sure.
Yes, she was.
That's the one.
That little whore.
That bitch!
Oh!
Third base. They call her third base Olsen.
And remember, not Uncle Jesse. He's just Jesse. He was never her uncle on the show.
Not at all.
Right. By the way, today's meeting
between Blackie Parrish,
the writers and the producers today, billed as informal to see if there's any point in going back to the real negotiating. There is reason, I believe, for real hope here. The union is abandoning two of its deal-breaker demands, and the producers are being represented by executives from Fox and Disney, who are the same guys who struck a deal with the directors' union last week. I'm very, very – I think the strike will be over by the end of the week.
I wonder what the two demands were. I wonder what they were.
I don't know. I don't know, but they were deal breakers.
Someone who loves TV as much as I do, I could give a rat's ass.
A lot of people feel that way.
Stuff that they put on TV, all the scripted stuff, it's all garbage anyway.
Well, your rule of thumb is as long as it doesn't affect the Tuttles.
Yeah, right.
That's it. If it doesn't affect the Tuttles, you're
Football
fine.
Football or the Tuttles.
What, the Tuttles aren't written?
Or yeah, Regis.
I always thought that dialogue was scripted. Always.
I've noticed it's well, not
you
a
know,
star.
Mike. A lot of times when we do the voiceovers, you know it might sound like we're reading, but here's the truth. We can't read.
Well, you know it's time for the strike to end when you hear that all four networks are considering celebrity stunt competitions. One producer is pitching World's Strongest Celebrity.
Now, hold on. Now, you know, I'll watch that for a night.
Only if it has Kathy Bates in
one
it.
One night.
Did you used to watch Battle of the Network Stars?
Yeah, but I got bored quickly, just like American Gladiators. Mm-hmm. There's a quick burn factor with all. You know, I think we want TV shows that we can hang with a little bit. You know, like House is a good example of that. I think that's what people want.
Well, as on Dancing with the Stars, the celebrities are taught how to do the stunts, and then they face each other in weekly eliminations. Naturally, the strongman stuff would have to be tamed a bit. Quoting one source, if the strongmen are pulling airplanes, then the stars might be pulling cars.
I tell you, we're looking forward to celebrity competition. More coming up on the World's Strongest Stars.
Thank you, Tom.
Who are you?
I'm Tom Bergeron, the self-loathing Tom Bergeron. We've got very exciting competitions coming up. Cameron Manheim will be lifting an entire cow coming up on Strongest Stars. Or the World's Strongest Stars.
Lifting with a star.
Or Celebrity Stars.
How would you like to spot Cameron Manheim?
Oh.
Literally.
I bet she spots
on her own, I think.
I've got another one for you.
Okay.
Stand by. That's our band. Aren't they fantastic?
We got a new bigger band.
Mimi from the Drew Carey Show. We'll be lifting kegs of beer coming up on the World's Strongest Star.
Nicely done, Tom.
Thank you.
NBC, by the way, says it's getting out of the business of developing new shows. Up till now, NBC has spent $50 million a year to produce 15 to 20 series pilots, five or six of which end up on the schedule. The other networks are also doing fewer pilots. NBC's out of the business completely.
God, they piss away so much money.
Does that mean now that we're going to have independent production houses that will be creating all the pilots? That means there might be a dearth of quality content, but it doesn't matter because we've got Kathy Bates, Cameron Manheim, and Mimi from the Drew Carey Show coming up on the World's Strongest Celebrity Stars.
Who are you?
The self-loathing Tom Bergeron. Very exciting day. Let's bring the boys in right now. George Clooney is here. Also, John Stamos. And what a surprise, Steve Buscemi. Didn't expect to see you here.
Lifting with the stars.
Lifting with the stars.
And from reality shows to reality, early Sunday morning, TSA got a call from a guy who said he had gotten through the main security checkpoint at Ronald Reagan National Airport here in Washington, D.C.
Wendell Hall.
With a gun. he had a gun.
Wendell.
Police were called in, and there at the checkpoint in question was the man, Gregory Hinkle.
Hi, this is Wendell Hall. This excitement, I sort of forgot myself. This is a Smith & Wesson 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world. So what you've got to be asking yourself is, do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? Good luck.
Wendell Hall, deranged gun owner with a nasty temper. Climbing towers or sneaking through security checkpoints. More to come on Straining with the Stars.
Straining at stool.
Straining at stool.
Tonight, Marnie.
Stool softeners don't work in cold Green Bay.
California rolls.
So this guy at Reagan National meets up with the police officers, hands over the handgun he snuck through security. Is this guy a hero or a lunatic?
Well, Buzz, did the guy mean to or not?
We don't know the details, but I get the impression from what I have read that he did mean to do that. He's the one who called TSA and notified them as soon as he'd gotten through security with the gun. Lunatic or hero? I don't know.
When Israel was in Egypt's land,
this guy,
let my people go.
That's what he said when he handed over the gun.
I don't know this. I just pressed the wrong button.
It worked for me.
That's why.
Little faux pas.
That's why this show is seamless.
Mm-hmm. Off you go.
Off you go.
TSA says it's put the security officer involved on administrative leave while this is fully investigated. TSA says it will take the appropriate action once the investigation is finished.
Very excited. We've got a brand new game, Sneaking Through Airport Security. But this time it's going to be soap opera stars. Susan Lucci with Liquid Explosives on the next Sneaking Through Security with the Stars.
Wow.
Who are you?
I'm the self-loathing Tom Bergeron. And we've got lots more fun coming up, Rob Spivak. It's a tribute to December 7th, and I can't pronounce Rob Spivak. It's called Remember the Arizona, a tribute to the Japanese on Dancing with the Stars.
Turning Japanese.
I'm turning
Japanese.
Turning Japanese.
I really think so.
But not to take anything away from Oreo cookies, ever, a lot of people like Hydrox cookies better.
I'll tell you something, Buzz.
Yes?
Very seriously. Okay. I was a major stockholder, RJR and Nabisco, until I saw those ads with Peyton licking and his retarded brother licking.
And then the parents in the stands.
And the big, stupid Oreo mascot.
Mm-hmm.
Oreo is the hardest product in the world to screw up.
Yeah.
Because it is simply the world's greatest cookie. However, you have taken a beautiful product now, and my mind is forever scarred. Yeah.
Because of the Manning brothers?
Because I'm looking at the Manning brothers.
I like the Manning brothers.
Wearing what appears to be a women's aerobic clothing. I know it's supposed to be a tongue-in-cheek ad, but could you make them look any more like a couple of mongoloids? Seriously, it looks like they're at the Special Olympics.
Well, maybe you're going to switch to Hydrox now.
Sure.
I've never had a Hydrox cookie.
Oh, I have. They're great.
Can I tell you something? Mm-hmm. No. The brand name is everything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that.
There is you could put a Hydrox there and an Oreo there, and every time, man, I tell you the Oreo.
But a lot of people prefer Hydrox. They say the Hydrox chocolate sandwich cookies are crisper than Oreos.
Is that made by the Sunshine Bakery?
It was at one time, yes. And that they stand up better to milk. That's the other argument about
this. And that's another thing. Hydrox that you know me. Mm-hmm. I don't like no food touchy.
I know.
I hate it. I know everybody does
you
it.
You don't dunk your Oreos in milk.
And I've said since I was an infant, who wants anything to stand up to milk?
Well, anyway, Hydrox cookies have always been kosher. Also, never using the pork fat that Oreos once used.
Conspiracy!
So the Kellogg Cereal Company was the proud owner of the Hydrox cookie until it realized it was never going to make any money. Hydrox sounded more like a toilet bowl cleaner than a cookie. Even renaming them Droxies didn't help. So 5 years ago, I didn't know this, Kellogg quietly stopped making Hydrox cookies.
Really?
Here's why this is news today.
Why?
As with Elvis, people have been reporting Hydrox sightings.
are idiots.
One guy says he found a piece in some Edie's ice cream. He said it said Hydrox on the chunk of cookie he found. Another guy says he found a piece in ice cream. Other people claim Hydrox is still around in the form of Newman's Own. I guess he makes a chocolate sandwich cookie. And Famous Amos has one as well. There are people who swear those are really Hydrox cookies. That's how much Hydrox excitement there is in this country.
I want to tell you something.
Sometimes you crack yourself up. It's so stupid, don't you?
When I was a kid, if I would go to a friend's house, I would hate it. Seriously, if the mom would say, "Who wants Oreos?" Mm-hmm. I do. Bring out a Hydrox.
And were they the cheaper alternative?
Always.
Same
thing. You go to some kid's house. Who wants a Coke? I do. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's Cragmont. It's like, hey, come on, bitch. I want someone to say, we're in 1971. It's a quarter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Buy a name brand, for God's
sake.
That's
not a code.
Hydrox is better than Oreo. Better taste.
A lot of people believe that.
You know what? You are just speaking. You're tasting through your wallet.
No.
I believe he.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to side with the boy on this one. Yeah. I mean, he knows his cookies.
The Oreos kick ass.
They are good.
Listen to this morbidly obese gentleman.
The original Oreos are unbeatable.
You're going to have to defer to Rob on this.
Better texture. I think there's more shortening in it.
By the way, I think it's interesting where they got the name because it's not a pleasant name.
Of course, there's more shortening in it.
Lard.
Tubby boots over here. There's more shortening in it.
Fistfuls of lard. The geeks over at Sunshine Bakery.
You win, Rob. More shortening.
More shortening.
I must find some.
They chose the name Hydrox because they thought it sounded pure. Hydrogen. Oxygen, Hydrox, that's where the name came from.
Now I just have this song playing in my head. Mama's little baby loves shortening. Mama's little baby loves shortening bread.
There's an online petition, in fact, to bring back the real Hydrox cookies.
Really, and shortening, it's a code word, but it's really lard.
Right.
Right?
It is again.
It's fat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A grocery cart that's smarter than you when we continue.
I think we've proven that already.
They all are. They all are.
Even with a stuck wheel.
Yeah, especially one with a retarded wheel that just goes left.
I can't go right.
Right, well, enjoy your Hydrox cookies and your bad carts.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm Scott Shannon. Stand by for news.
Live from Club Media Corner, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
I want you to think.
Yeah.
You think. Which rhymes with
think about
stink.
Think.
Think. Pink.
That makes it easy to remember.
Dink.
I think you could have stopped it at pink.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
For my
think,
money.
Stink, pink. You got the whole thing there.
Always go too
right,
far.
Exactly, yeah.
I think, oh, freedom,
freedom,
freedom
for constipation.
Still softener.
Hi there, Buzzy.
Hi, guys. You still get
Hi there, news guy.
Hi. You still get to drive the grocery store shopping carts of the future, but they will do most of the thinking. Microsoft has teamed up with a high-tech shopping cart company to introduce this smart cart at ShopRite stores on the East Coast this year, and they're expected to spread elsewhere by early next year. The cart will scan items as you place them in your basket and give you a running total of what you're spending.
I love that.
If you log on before leaving the house, you can type in your grocery list, and then when you get to the store, you swipe your card on the cart, and it will bring up your list. As you put items into the cart, they get checked off the list automatically.
I like it again.
The cart even knows what aisle you're on and offers you coupons and specials for that particular aisle.
Right, because no one's going to make any more impulse buys, Buzz.
That's right.
Everyone's going to go exactly with what their list says when they go to the store.
Not a bad idea, though, I think, for a shopping cart.
Now, this is an amazing and interesting and strange story. There was a time when Catholics flocked to a foreskin because they believed it could cut 10 years off their purgatory.
Christina Aguilera, her son, they gave him the...
he got circumcised.
They circumcised him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure
She's
enough.
Jewish.
They both are.
Right.
Husband
Junu.
And wife.
Huh?
I did, yeah.
Here's the legend about this foreskin business. An angel...
Would you call her Aguilera?
Yeah, Christina Aguilera.
Aguilera. God.
The legend is that an angel gave Jesus' foreskin to Emperor Charlemagne, who gave it to Pope Leo III.
Now, hold on. What Bible? I think I've read it back and forth. I don't ever remember the page where they talk about Jesus' foreskin.
Well, they don't talk about it in the Bible. This is a European legend, particularly among Catholics. And that's the story. Supposedly an angel gave Jesus' foreskin to Emperor Charlemagne, who gave it to Pope Leo
III. Where does Black Peter fit in?
Now, I think you know.
And
now,
my wife, she makes the cheese.
Now, this foreskin supposedly remained in the papal collection until the early 16th century when a looting German soldier brought it to Calcutta.
Hi!
But at one point...
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
It was BN, that was before Nazi.
There are always problems with legends like this because at one point there were actually 18 supposed foreskins from Jesus. Just in France alone.
You know what this is like? Remember when I said earlier, like, the big sporting events? Mm-hmm. Everybody says they were at the Ice Bowl.
Yeah, they want to marry themselves to
everybody
it.
Everybody says they were there when the Patriots won the 19th game in a row. Everybody would say, I was there when Jesus' foreskin fell off.
Married to the foreskin.
That's the same thing here. And each one of these 18 foreskins were on display in different churches and monasteries throughout France. By the 20th century, all but one of them had been stolen. Now it's gone, too. The theft of the foreskin has been blamed theoretically on various groups, Nazis, Satanists, and the Vatican itself.
You can get that through security at an airport, though.
Yeah.
Sure can.
Yeah.
It's not that big.
No metal in it.
It's just Jesus' scrotum.
Mm-hmm. Well, not his scrotum.
No,
oh.
Foreskin.
Well, I'm sorry, his foreskin. I mean, well, it's, you know, same neighborhood.
Yeah, generally.
Yeah, but a different house.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Rob. You trumped me there.
24-year-old Garth Flaherty from just outside Spokane is going to jail for a couple of months, actually, and he's spending an additional month doing community service work. You may remember Garth from last March when he was spotted hanging out in a laundry room of an apartment complex near Washington State University.
Hi, Garth. Hi, Wayne.
The reason somebody dropped a dime on Garth is that there'd been a rash of underwear thefts.
Party on, Garth.
A dozen co-eds had reported that their thongs, bras, and other delicate undergarments had gone missing.
Sorry. Babraham Lincoln.
And Garth, there he was, hanging around the laundry room. When he was arrested, Garth confessed that he did indeed have over 1,600 such items in his collection.
Any from Margaret Cho?
I doubt it.
Okay.
But it was enough to fill 5 garbage bags and weigh in at 93 pounds.
Hey, now. Well, then.
What about the vagina?
Hey.
And if women are being groped on public transportation in this country, we're just not hearing about it. But as you may have heard, it's a big problem, or at least was, in Tokyo. So much so, they started running women-only trains for women who didn't want to be groped. Now they've done the same thing in Mexico City. Quoting a 27-year-old woman there, one time a man stuck his hand up my skirt. They grab your butt. It's gross.
And that is the plot for the movie There Will Be Blood.
Starring Daniel Day-Lewis.
The new women-only...
And his right hand.
The new women-only buses are so popular, Mexico City officials say they'll be adding them to 15 more routes in the city.
That's nice.
Many women have already shown they'd rather wait an extra few minutes just for that women-only bus.
That's nice.
And finally, I admit it, occasionally we represent or present an item solely for its shock value. But let's say this is really just a comment on generational differences and a measure of how society is always changing.
Incredible!
A new study says that only 18% of people between the ages of 18 and 40 say they'd be willing to have sex on a first date. Just 18%.
They've never talked to Beth Ann McBride.
Tramp!
The figure was 37%.
He was a tramp.
A vamp.
A bit of a vamp. She
was a
V-A-M-P.
Vamp.
Only 18% say yes to sex on a first date between the ages of 18 and 40. The answer is 37%. Among people between the ages of 50 and 65. In other words, your parents may be more promiscuous than you. Sleep tight.
Ew.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Ew.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Ew.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Ew. I don't know why you're so gross about it. I mean, am I wrong? Did your mom discuss BJs with you, Mike?
Yes, she did, Don.
On the telephone recently on a drive home?
Yep. But I didn't talk about that thing I did at the lodge. I have my limits.
You'll discuss oral with your mom, but you won't tell her that you pooped in your pants.
It's all about standards.
Yep. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Bye-bye there, Curly.
Good day to you, sir.
And hey, Head.
Gotta take a trip.
Where are you going?
Crap old Kenosha. Gonna buy a stool softener.
Don't forget my California rules.
And please. Your magazine.
It's cold.
Tomorrow.
This is the Don and Mike Show.